The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We are getting closer to the 100 days until kickoff. It is right around the corner. Next week, we'll have our countdown to kickoff, starting with day number 100. We'll also begin our preseason previews, which will go over every game, regular season game that IU will have this year. Go over, you know, win percentage chances, you know, basically a quick overview of, you know, the keys to the game, why each team could win or lose the game. We'll be joined by TJ Inman here soon, shortly. We're going to go over some conference expansion talk, see, you know, where the Big Ten and IU will fall in that. I'm not a fan of conference expansion, but it is going to happen eventually. You see a lot of these TV rights deals being different, and, you know, we'll see where they land. Some other news, Athlon Magazine has come out. We are selling it on our website. I've put the link out several times to buy it. If you haven't, check it out. Athlon does a great job of previewing the entire country and the entire Big Ten as well. There is an IU cover. It's IU, Purdue, and Notre Dame. And Divine Redding is the running back for IU on that cover. So if you're interested in the IU cover of Athlon's, do purchase it through our ad on our site. It helps us out a little bit as well. Every little bit counts, and I'd like to welcome TJ into the show. How are you, TJ?
I'm doing great, Sammy. Thank you for having me in here. I know I'm the co-host, but still, I always like to express some appreciation for you. Sorry about the late arrival. I was having some phone difficulty getting connected, but we're all ready to go. The weather is finally not gray and gloomy, so that's good. I felt like there should have been some football to watch because it, you know, felt like late October the past week or so, but we didn't have that to distract us from the gloom outside. So it was even worse than that time of year.
Exactly. I kept thinking to myself, this is what summer is going to be like. We, you know, I wouldn't mind skipping it and getting it right down to the games. But we do right. have a lot of good content coming up, TJ. It is my favorite time of year. The weather's warm. I love doing the research on the teams IU's going to play. I love seeing where people mm-hmm. are picking other teams. The one thing I'm not totally hot about and what we're going to talk about today, and it seems like it's come up more and more every year, is conference expansion. We saw it a couple years ago. The Big Ten expanded first to 12 teams with Nebraska, then 14 teams with the additions of Maryland and Rutgers. With the formation of the college football playoff, it seems like some conferences aren't happy where they are, mainly the Big 12, who mm-hmm. I think all of this conference expansion talk hinges on, since they do not play a conference championship game. There's talk about making, I would guess, four 16-team super conferences and break them up by region. It seems like we're moving in that direction. So let's start, TJ, in the Big 12. They have major problems with getting a team into the playoff. They had Oklahoma last year. They missed out on Baylor the year before. Are they missing a conference championship game? Is that costing them spots in the playoff, or is it just that they're falling behind in the ever-growing arms race of money. I know Forbes put out an article in January, I believe, saying that, you know, the Big 12 championship game could, you know, potentially make that conference $35 million a year. And that's money that could help schools build up facilities, help keep the Big 12 up in recruiting, and make up for, you know, some of that lost money that they just don't have with having a 10-team conference and no conference championship game. So what are your thoughts on the Big 12? Are they the domino that has to fall for all of this to start happening?
Yeah, I think I'll preface this by saying that I am a fan of the Big 12's current schedule, which, for those that don't know, is a round robin. Everybody plays everybody else. Now, is it equal? You know, not necessarily, just because of the home and road splits. They're going to be different. You know, you're going to alternate that every year. The sequencing of games is going to be different. You know, somebody might get hit with a, you know, run-up of Oklahoma, TCU, Oklahoma State, you know, back-to-back-to-back, and you know, or Baylor thrown in there as well. So that it's not always going to be 100% fair, but it is more equitable than the Big Ten, where, you know, as we know, there are major problems with the division breakdown, and you're going to have the cross-division games that aren't going to be equal. I love the round robin. It's not possible for conferences any bigger than the Big 12, so I get it. But so I'll preface my comments by saying that. Now, your overall question, does this conference expansion talk, this next round of it, which seems inevitable, it seems a matter of when, not if, and it does hinge on kind of the next move or moves that the Big 12 decides to make. I've read a couple different articles and done a couple of studies myself. Studies makes it sound like more than it was. I did some Googling, but I'm not that smart. I don't really study things, but I did some Googling and found some numbers. And the major problem right now for the Big 12 is that their media rights contracts are not up to par with specifically the ACC, the Big Ten, and the SEC. The Pac-12 has some issues as well because their Pac-12 network, which was thought to be kind of revolutionary the way that they were doing it, they broke it down. They had an overall Pac-12 network, and they also have kind of sub-Pac-12 networks, which are sort of region-dependent. So you had like Pac-12 Arizona, Pac-12 California,
All the extra channels on your guide that don't work.
Yes. Yeah, and they, well, the reason is that those sub-channels, they are sub-packages, whatever you want to call it, the sub-regional options, they've been unable to get distribution for those. The distribution for that is way, way less than the SEC network, which, of course, tied into ESPN, way less than the Big Ten network, which is kind of the forebear of these conference channels. But bottom line for the Big 12 is that those schools are making somewhere in the region of like $9 to $10 million less than the ACC, and more than that than the Big 10. They're even further behind the Big 10 schools just in the TV rights, media rights deals. You know, their top level packages are similar, you know, what the games that you see on ESPN or ABC or on Fox, those are similar to those conferences, but that third TV rights package is what they're missing, and a conference network is what you get in there. So you say, okay, well, why don't they launch the Big 12 network? The biggest impediment to that is the Longhorn Network, which is the Texas-specific University of Texas specific network that was launched by Texas and ESPN, and has really, for Texas, it's been fine. But I do think long term, it might end up being an impediment to them. Plus, it has really, really hurt the Big 12. And for the schools that aren't Texas, the revenue is just really a problem. So you have that. You've got the lack of a conference title game, which they need to get up to, you know, adding another couple of schools to have a conference title game. So what you're left with is a conference that is lagging behind the other major players that they should be on equal footing with. And over 1 year or 2 years, that's not going to matter. Over a decade, that's going to be a significant amount of money that they will not be able to make up just by a rich donor or two cutting a big check. Because these other schools, you know, the schools in the Big Ten, the schools in the ACC and SEC, those schools also have rich donors that are going to write big checks as well. But, I mean, you just cannot make up the amount of money we're talking about, which over the course of a decade is going to be $100 million. And a lot of athletic departments are pretty stupid, but it'd be pretty hard to screw up $100 million to the point where you don't gain an advantage from it. So I think that you're left with a conference that knows we need to make changes, and they really right now aren't sure what changes they're going to make. The schools that we've seen them talk about here very recently, the last couple of weeks, that whether they're legitimate or these are just kind of, you know, the first article gets put out and then the others just kind of parrot what the first one said, but all the articles are indicating, you know, schools like SMU, Houston, Memphis, that are attempting to, or BYU, I think, is kind of a very intriguing one as well for various reasons. They have their own network, the, you know, their Mormon Broadcasting Network or whatever it's called. I kind of find it hard to get too excited if I'm the Big 12 about adding more Texas schools. You know, besides just numbers, I'm not really sure what you're doing there. You're not opening up any new footprints. You're not really doing anything other than, oh yeah, now we have another school in here to split up the pie with, but hey, look, we have enough for a conference title game. But I think the BYU is one that would really, really open up a lot of avenues, not the state of Utah necessarily, because, you know, they've already kind of have that region, but BYU has a gigantic following, so I think that one is a really interesting name.
Yeah, that brings me to the our next segment. Was TJ, there are two ways this could go. This could go in the Big 12 goes to 12 or 14 teams or 16 teams, or you could see some of these Big 12 teams leave and join other conferences. And
yes,
you talked about the Longhorn Network, and this has been, you know, I'd call it a thorn in the side of all these other Big 12 schools who are not, they're
hate
not
Texas.
Getting
they hate
money from
they hate
it.
Texas.
So, you know, it could also be, you know, the end of the Big 12. You could see Oklahoma leave. You could see Kansas leave. You know, maybe you see one of these, you know, maybe Texas eventually says, you know what, we're done with the Longhorn Network. We're leaving as well. And just see the whole thing fall apart. So that's where the Big Ten could come into play and absorb two more of the teams. You know, who knows, you know, I've seen Notre Dame joining the Big Ten, which I don't think is going to happen.
I thought it was. I thought that was a very viable thing 3 or 4 years ago. I do not think it is now because of that partnership with the ACC. Sorry to
exactly.
jump in there.
No, you're good. Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. Was they have this partnership with the ACC. So maybe they join the ACC. The ACC goes to 16 teams. You know, maybe, you know, you see – if the Big 12 wants to stay intact, maybe you see them add Cincinnati to expand into Ohio. You'll have that Cincinnati-West Virginia rivalry as well. It's closer. I mean, it's so spread out. Maybe they add a team like Memphis as well to get into SEC territory. you know, the teams that are going to get left out, Boise State, apparently academically, they're not going to join a major conference. No major conference wants their academics. So, you know, maybe you see the ACC take a team like Navy, and you see them start poaching these AAC teams. Maybe you see the Big Ten, you know, in a perfect world, I'd like to see maybe Kansas join the Big Ten. That way, you know, you have one, it's competitive balance. They'll throw it out in football. You know, they'll join the West and it'll be even worse. But you'll have those basketball rivalries. But you need a stronger team in football just to balance out those divisions in the Big Ten. But my negative, TJ, about conference expansion, you're losing all that is great about college football. And that is these regional rivalries. And there was an article Teddy Greenstein or John U. Bacon put out about, you know, losing these rivalries. And, you know, Michigan State's not going anywhere, but look at Indiana-Illinois. We'll take that for example. That's a rivalry. It's been a rivalry in basketball. It could be a good rivalry in football, but they don't play enough. You know, the IU and Illinois haven't played since 2013. Right. You know, it kind of the spark got going when Jack Trudeau, you know, had Wilson on his radio show, insulted IU. Wilson took offense to it, which, you know, made me like him even more. But, you know, that's something that could form into a regional rivalry. IU doesn't play Northwestern as much anymore. They haven't played since 2012. And selfishly, man, traveling to Rutgers in Maryland, it's a schlep. I'd much rather drive to Illinois or drive to a Michigan State, drive to Ohio State, you know, stuff like that. Now, you know, is there potential for maybe Rutgers and Maryland forming some rivalries in the Big Ten? Maybe. They have to get better. They need to play some better games against Big Ten opponents. You know, Maryland might become a thing. Who knows? You know, there was some bad blood a couple of years ago. Last year's game was uneventful since I don't really remember anything of it. But, you know, you've got to bring in teams that'll fit. Now, Nebraska fits. It's kind of on the edge of it, but it fits the Big Ten mold of we're Midwest. We play power football, you know, at times. But they have those rivalries they're going to have a rivalry with Wisconsin. They have a rivalry game with Iowa. They could slide like right in, and it might feel forced for a little bit, but they slide right in really well. So now who do you bring in the Big Ten? You know, do you add a team like Cincinnati and say, hey, you know, let's slide you right in. You're in the footprint. Although the Big Ten doesn't really gain anything by getting another team out of Ohio.
No.
But, you know, Indiana's playing Cincinnati down the road in non-conference. So, you know, that's the downside of conference expansion. But, TJ, what teams do you see? What way do you think this is going to fall?
Yeah, I agree with your overall point there about losing a lot of, I would say, the identity of the conferences to where it really just ends up becoming scheduling agreements and just a collection of teams that, you know, have scheduling agreements to play each other. There's not really conference identities, and I see that happening here within the next decade. I love reading about it. I love thinking about, you know, all the hypotheticals and what conferences could look like and who could be going where. But then in the actual application of it, I don't end up loving it. I mean, I've made no effort to hide how much I really dislike Rutgers being in the Big Ten, but they are. It is what it is, and I think if this is to continue inevitably, which I feel that it will, you know, you do want to have the best fits for your conference. And when I'm looking at it, I think the two is probably the number that the Big Ten's looking at next, is adding two. I mean, you can't have 15. So they'll be adding a second team to get to 16. I think that Pittsburgh is one that kind of makes sense to me, gives a natural rival for Penn State and their location, an in-state rival. Pittsburgh's a fairly large market. I know it doesn't open up a new state or anything like that, but I think that that makes sense. I think UConn makes a little bit of sense because the Big Ten wants to continue to be a presence in New York, as evidenced by getting Rutgers and then moving the Big Ten tournament for a year to the Garden. They want to be a presence there, so I think UConn could make sense, and that would obviously add cachet for basketball and, of course, women's basketball, which, you know, definitely the biggest factor in all this is football, but still you need to consider those other sports as well. I think that Kansas would be a good fit if the Big 12 ends up, you know, kind of looking like a conference that crumbles and you swoop in and pick up Kansas. I think that would be a good fit. And I think that one kind of off the reservation, one that I don't think is realistic at this time. It was talked about as being realistic a couple of years ago, before Indiana added Maryland, or before the Big Ten added Maryland and Rutgers. And North Carolina is one that it looks like the ACC might be weak and could be poached, and North Carolina would have made a lot of sense from an academic standpoint and from a geographical standpoint. It would have made sense for what the Big Ten wanted to do, which was expand eastward. It would have been, you know, more southeast than they ended up going. But I think North Carolina was one that could be in play. But if I'm choosing two that I think is most likely, I think Pitt and UConn would be the two that you look at. But really the available options are going to be what happens to the Big 12. Do they go to 16 teams? Do they take kind of the measured approach and go to 12? Do they go to 14 to match what the Big 10 has? And then does the Big 10 then turn around and say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll add two more? And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the Big 12 does at their league meetings, because they are going to be presented a model. They hired a firm that has done a lot of research and projections and stuff, and they're going to present a model to the Big 12 school commissioners about a Big 12 network and the feasibility of it, what it would do, what it would mean. And I think you're probably going to see the majority of the schools say yes, absolutely, and then you're going to see Texas consider it and probably say, well, the Longhorn Network, the lost revenue from that, from losing that revenue stream, is going to have to be made up. We're going to need to have the largest chunk of the pie, and then the other Big 12 schools will continue to feel like the underlings of Texas, which they've long had a problem with. It's a large reason why Missouri left the conference in the first place. And then you're going to have kind of an impasse. Does Texas budge, or do the Big 12 schools start to say, screw this, it's not worth it, and we're going to look for someplace else? And then at that point, you'd really have a large-scale reshuffling that would totally reshape the landscape of college athletics.
Yeah, I definitely think that the disintegration of the Big 12 is probably the most likely. You'd probably see Texas move to either the Pac-12 or the SEC. I'd rather them go to the SEC. You get some good rivalries there. You bring back the Texas A&M Texas rivalry. Maybe Oklahoma and Kansas join the Big Ten. Arkansas Texas is another good rivalry. Bring back some of these regional rivalries. Well, you know, I think the Big Ten's biggest problem here is competitive balance. If you add a Pitt and UConn, who are you moving over to the West? You know, geographically, it'd probably be Indiana, or you're moving Michigan State. And right. I don't think they want to have Michigan and Ohio State on opposite sides of the conference again. Just, you know, to have the potential of having Ohio State, Michigan twice in a year sounds good sometimes, but back-to-back weeks, it's almost NFL-ish when, you know, it's the last division game of the year. And then you play in the wild card round the next week. So, you know, you got to take competitive balance. Right now, the Big Ten West is way behind the Big Ten East. And eventually, over time, that's probably going to even itself out. You'd think Nebraska would come up. Wisconsin's probably going to get better. Iowa's up and down. But if you could add a team, maybe like an Oklahoma, and put them in the West and add a team, you know, if you add Cincinnati and put them in the East, your competitive balance is a little bit better. So I think that's what the Big Ten would be looking at is more what's competitive balance, who brings the most to the table. You know, Oklahoma had a good basketball team. They have a good football team. They have some decent other sports as well. Cincinnati, you're going to – yeah, it's Oklahoma's – you're opening up that Southwest region now. Cincinnati, you're going to have basketball local rivalries with Ohio State. Now, they might not be competitive that much, but, you know, having an Indiana-Cincinnati game in all sports will be nice. It's easy travel from Bloomington, and it's just, you know, those are the games I'd rather see than seeing – IU Rutgers or IU played UConn, or, you know, as much of a fit Pitt is, you know, Pitt's probably more of a fit than UConn. But I'd much rather see that and bring back the values of the Big Ten than, you know, IU Maryland. Great. It's an NCAA tournament game. That's basically what their rivalry is a 2002 NCAA tournament game. Now, it was the final, but that's what it is. There's no flair in IU Maryland or IU Rutgers in football. It's not bringing in fans. You know, or like I gotta go to New Jersey and watch this game. But you know, who knows? We'll see what the first domino is to fall. It might not happen this year. And my biggest fear is if all this restructuring happens, they're going to expand the playoff. It's going to happen. And it's going to absolutely kill the regular season. And college football has the best regular season in sports. It's something we all look forward to. We all enjoy. Every game has meaning. You know, even, you know, people are saying that they don't like the Bulls, but if you're a fan of a team like Indiana, you have to love the bowl system. It gives you a reward. Indiana's not going, you know, 11-1 or 12-0 or, you know, 10-2 consistently enough to be in the playoff. And it's a shame that it's become all the, you know, we have to get to the playoff or bust or the season's terrible. If Indiana wins 8 games next year, goes 8-4 and goes to a Florida bowl game, that is the best season in 20 years for IU.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my biggest fear is that they expand the playoff, kill the regular season, and it basically makes college football a minor league to the NFL. TJ, last minute, final thought from you.
No, I agree with that. I think that a lot of times people would equate, well, you know, if we put an 8-team playoff in, then there's even more teams that feel like the end of the regular season is meaningful. I flat out disagree with that. I think that having 4, you know, it means that one loss puts you in jeopardy of not reaching your goal if you are a top 10, top 15 program.
Whereas the rest of the teams, you know, you're not competing for that, but, you know, the fan base is going to be, you said, you have to have your own program standards. And I think that right now what, you know, Indiana's looking at is certainly much different than what an Ohio State's going to look at. So what are the expectations going to be? And you're right. I don't want to see this conference expansion eventually result in playoff expansion, which would, of course, water down what is the best regular season product in sports. So I'm hoping that discretion becomes the name of the game as we move forward, and the decision makers keep in mind that it's not currently broken. Like, it's an awesome product right now. It doesn't need to be completely overhauled. I know that there are problems with the NCAA, but that doesn't really have to do with conference size. So I hope that the decisions that are made keep those things in mind, and that we can continue to enjoy college football for years to come and not have it be a totally different thing than what we have right now.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like, you know, you're getting a little too greedy, and football itself is on the precipice of a major kind of oh crap moment, you know, yeah. Especially with all these concussions, fewer younger kids are playing. Are the rules going to have to be changed? And football in 20 years might not exist. And I get you want to make the money while you can, but, you know, if you're in for it for player safety, if you expand the playoff, teams are already playing 15 games, including conference championship games. It's like an NFL season. Just, you know, you have a good product. If you want to make it better, you know what will make it better? Cut out the ad times and cut out instant replay. Games are 4 hours long. And there's no, like, I don't mind a 4 hour game if it's going back and forth and there's some flow to it. But when every other play is being reviewed because, you know, the guy made a great catch, but, you know, oh, it was a close play, let's review it, and it's really not that close. Or at the end of the game when a field goal goes over the upright and, oh, it's not reviewable because it went over the upright. Well, you know what? Just do away with it. I'm okay with human error. But when your rules are, well, it went over the upright, we don't use replay for that. Well, when do you use replay on field goals? When it clearly goes through the goalpost, it's become such those long game times and the dead time in during the games has become such a turnoff that, you know, people are staying home. They'd rather watch it on TV. You could see it in the attendance around the country, not only at IU. You'd rather sit on your couch with the remote. You know, you have your TV, maybe you have two TVs and an iPad or a TV and an iPad, and you could flip around the channels. That's why it's so great having ESPN. You have ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN News are right in a row, and you just flip through the channels to where you get a game. But anyway, TJ, that does it for today's show. We will have longer podcasts in the future. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Have a good week, everybody.
All right. That does it for today's podcast. We got into some big discussions about conference expansion, basically the soul of college football and where it's going. Don't forget to check out HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll have lots of content coming up. We're starting our 100-day countdown next week. We'll start our preseason previews as well. We'll have new content out every day. Anyway, if you're in Indiana, enjoy the good weather. If you're somewhere else, hopefully the weather is good and you can enjoy it. Thanks for joining us and have a great day.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.